2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to talk about David again this morning. I tell you, there's so much here. I say it often, but I was planning all week to preach on something else. And this here just came along. Lord does that often. Let's look at verse 10. Let's just read verse 10. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 10. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. Now that's a short little verse. But now you talk about full of truth and wonderful things. It sure is. Father, thank you for the songs. Thank you for the special that you sang. Thank you for allowing us to be together again on the Lord's Day. And thank you for a place to be, people to be with. Thank you most of all for the Word of God that we have in front of us. Lord, it's been written in black and white. It's sure and certain. You preserved it forever. And I'm thankful you preserved it for us today. Please help us, Lord, to realize the value of this Word of God that we have. And help us to not waste or squander away the precious time that we have in the house of God and hearing the preaching. I pray we'd make our heart and our mind sanctified this morning to Thee, just separated it apart from all the cares of life and seek to hear Your voice this morning. Please minister to us, Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And David went on. That says a lot right there. You know, he was on a journey of life. And you have to keep moving on a journey or you don't get there, do you? Y'all learned that yesterday, didn't you? You stop for a few hours and you ain't getting nowhere. Life is that way. Life is a moving thing. It's not a standstill thing. And it's not a reverse. It's forward. Life is moving and it's moving that way. And we should always have a view forward. That's the way life is. To be living is to be moving. That's why that when you stop moving, and you know, a lot of old people get that way. They get to the point where they just stop moving, and life just about ceases. You know, and it eventually will cease. You stop moving, you're going to stop living. You've got to keep moving. Life always is associated with a river, not a pool of water, but moving water. Anytime life and water are mixed together in the Bible, it's about a river. It ain't about, or a spring. It's not about a pool. It's not about a lake or a pond or an ocean. It's about a river. Moving water. It's going somewhere. It's not just setting in one place. David went on. He's the king now. Big deal. But he's still looking forward. I haven't arrived. This is not the end of it. This is not the summation of what God put me on earth for. This is not it. There's still something ahead. David went on. The day that David became king, David went on. He didn't just stop. There's more to learn. There's more to experience. There's more to feel than we have time in this life to do. Our time runs out before the new ground runs out that we haven't taken. Y'all listening? You ain't got enough time to get to where you need to get in this life. So you got to keep moving. Better not sit down. Better not sit still. Better not park somewhere. Better not get all down and out and all tangled up in that slough of despond. You got to keep going. You got to go on. A river runs in only one direction. It never runs backwards. Now, they said the Mississippi ran backwards in the earthquake in 1811 and 12. And maybe it did for just a slosh. But it went right back to running the way it still runs now. And every day since God put it there, it's ran the same direction. South. It's running toward the sea. A river runs one way. You don't, and that's the way life is. You're going one way, and you cannot back up. You can't reverse. You can't go back. You can't rehash. You can't redo anything. It's moving in one direction. Everything you say, everything you do, everything you acquire, learn, experience, it's taking you in that direction. Forward. God told the children of Israel, when they're hemmed in the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh behind them, God said to Moses, He said, you tell the people to go forward. Even when it looks like there's nowhere to go. What are we going to do? Forward is into the sea. That's right. God's going to move the sea for you. You just go forward. You can't go back. You can't go to the side. Life is that way in all respects. You go forward. No matter what happens, you go on. David went on. David went on. And that's what we got to do. And you got to learn this lesson. If we don't keep going forward, our life will become stagnant. And it'll be pitiful instead of inspiring and wonderful. People will look at you and wonder, what in the world happened to you? They'll look at you and think, what a pity! They don't think that about people that pick up and go on. People that keep moving. People that just go on. That's what life is. That's what, if you're alive, that's what you do. If you're alive in the flesh, that's what you do. If you're alive in the Spirit, that's what you do. You go on. You continue. You keep on. David went on. When things were terrible, he went on. And when things were comfortable and wonderful, as they are this day, he went on. He didn't drop an anchor. He didn't stop to enjoy this. I was reading this morning and I told her, and it's a whole, there's just so much to talk about. And I passed the point where David became king, and there's so much more to say right there. But I'll just throw it in here because I probably won't get to preach on it. But the day David became king, I don't think that we even got in our mind the right picture of what it was really like. I read there this morning, you can go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I believe it is, and it gives a much more detailed account of what happened when David became king. And the military that went over to Hebron to turn the kingdom over to David, it wasn't just a few elders that went over there and said, you know, we're representing everybody. It says all Israel went over there. The army that went was 348,000 soldiers went to David in Hebron. It's a big deal. They celebrated for 3 days. They had festivities and ceremonies and all of these things, making David king. And the whole country was rejoicing and happy and praising God for what He had done in making David the king. And right there, that's what it says about David. He went on. He didn't stay there. He didn't say, this is good. He wasn't like Peter who said up on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is good for us to be here. Let's just build some houses and stay here. We'll build a house for you and a house for you and a house for you. We'll just stay here. This is a good place to be. No, he went on. Jesus said, we got to go on. We got to go back down where the people are. When things were discouraging and difficult, he didn't despair and think of giving up. You hearing me? When David was discouraged, was he ever discouraged? Oh, yes. He was greatly discouraged at one point there. And discouraged many times. But how many times did you ever see David sitting under a tree saying, nobody loves me and nobody cares and nobody feels sorry for me? No, David was, he didn't ever do that. He just went on. With God's help, because he always turned to God. I may get ahead of myself here, but that's why he could do it. And he always did. He never sat in the depths of despair and tried to figure a way to quit and give up. David went on. Are you that kind of a person? Is it in you? Just go on. No matter what happens. Bad, good. Go on. Are you looking out ahead or are you just looking down at your dashboard as you drive? You know what's going to happen to you if you're doing that? You're going to wreck. That's right. And I ain't just talking about your car. You got to have a view out on past there. I remember, Dad probably does, when I first started learning to drive, you know where I was looking? Right at the end of the hood of the car. Boy, it's hard to drive when you do that. You can't drive. It's disaster, impending disaster. And it's terrifying for everybody that's riding with you. You got to look out there. You got to always be looking way out yonder. And life is that way. People that live life and are alive, they're looking out their ways, not just right here and now. If you live in this present moment only, you're not living. And you're not going to be happy. And you're going to be a person who just don't have a life. That's about what it amounts to. If you're not living looking forward, you're probably looking back and mourning and pining over the loss and whatever's happened in your past. You got to go on, no matter what happens, no matter who leaves you, no matter what people say about you, no matter what the loss you suffer, you got to go on. Amen. David had that in him. He never quit. I was sitting there a while ago thinking, on his deathbed, as he said his last words, these were the last words of David. He's telling Solomon, now here's what you better do, and you better watch out for this. He was looking ahead for everybody else when he was dying. Knowing he was fixing to check out, be out of the picture, but he was still giving instructions and thinking about what lie ahead for Solomon and the country. That's the way he was. Boy, it's good to be a person like that, I'm telling you. Makes your life more profitable. Makes your life more of a blessing to other people. It makes your life more of a blessing to you. If you're looking ahead. When he was sitting on top of everything, he didn't settle in and make himself comfortable and stop living and looking ahead. He's the king, but where do we go from here? What's next? Well, one of the first things was get rid of the Jebusites. Going to do that. He did it. You know, David didn't do a thing to make himself king. But when he became king, then he stepped up and put his feet in the boots. If he's the king, then he is responsible for some things. And that's the way we need to look at our life too. You know, if you're a parent, if you're a father, whatever your role in life is, a mother, you have responsibilities that come with that. And you need to have the backbone and the will and determination to do what God expects you to do in your position. That's what David did. As long as he wasn't king, he wouldn't touch it. And he wouldn't do a thing to make himself king, to acquire that power. But when he became the king. Remember last week we talked about it. It just happened without his devices involved at all. David just became king. God put him there. And there was no doubt in anybody's mind that God did it. Not in David's mind, not in all of the country. Everybody realized God had done this. So he realized that since God had put him there, it was his responsibility to take care of business. And he did. And he couldn't have the Jebusites in the stronghold of Zion resisting him, saying, he can't even come up here. We'll do it. He couldn't get past the lame and the blind to get in here to us. Well, now, you're not a good king if you'll let that go. And he didn't let it go. And David took it. And he moved in to the fort, to their fort. And he made it, and it became the city of David instead of the city of the Jebusites. They took it 2 or 3 times before. Joshua took it. Judah had taken it. But none of them would get rid of those Jebusites. Benjamin was always trouble. And they let him stay until it became the city of the Jebusites instead of part of Israel. And now the kingdom is united under David. And here's this one spot where these people say, you ain't coming in here. And you can't come in here. Well, all I got to say is they shouldn't have said that. They should have just... And you know, when David conquered them, you can go on over chapter 24, I think it is, or something. And when David's going to make that sacrifice... And, you know, he didn't have anything with him. And he went to buy the stuff to do the sacrifice. You remember who it was he was buying it from? The king of the Jebusites. And the king of the Jebusites then said, you can have anything you want. You just take whatever you want. David said, I would never sacrifice to the Lord that which cost me nothing. And he paid him 50 shekels for everything to... sacrifice to the Lord with. But the king of the Jebusites submitted to David. And they were on good terms after David conquered them. Well, now see, that's something else different about David. When he conquered the enemies, they didn't hate him forever. He was a hard man to hate. Unless you were kin to Bathsheba. Well, we're getting to that, and I ain't looking forward to that, I'll tell you right now. David, he moved on. He never thought he'd arrived at his peak or the point of perfection where he could just sit down and stop. To keep living, we got to always press on. Well, now, don't that apply to our Christian life as well, doesn't it? I mean, they say, you think you're perfect. No, I don't think I'm perfect. Who in the world ever thinks they're perfect? But don't you think that ought to be the goal? Is to be as close to that as we can get? Yes, I do. I certainly do. David never thought he'd arrive, and that's what kept him with a vision to keep going forward and to keep moving. When the eyes of our soul are open and we can really see, we always have a vision for the future. But if you don't look to the future, it's because you're blind. Your soul is blind. You don't see clearly. Yeah. Well, it's when we stop seeing ahead and become blind that we stop moving and we grow stagnant and self-centered and useless to God and to others. Now, this doesn't mean what I'm saying here. I'm not talking about that we should move from one place to another. We're not saying that at all. That's not the meaning of what we're talking about here at all. And I hope you understand that. We don't move and keep changing our surroundings. That's what a lot of people do. They stay until they just run aground someplace or swamp themselves with all their fussing and fighting and trouble of life, and then they just bail and run to another ship somewhere. Jump on it. And you never accomplish what we're talking about here this morning. This thing in your life of just being able to go on. It's a different thing than we're talking about. To do that, if you just move around, keep jumping ship, and your grass is always greener somewhere else, it's contrary to truly going forward in life. You're not going forward in life if you're doing that. You're starting over and over and starting over and starting over and starting over at the starting line. You ain't finishing the race. You ain't getting nowhere close to finishing the race. You just keep running back to the starting line and starting over. Getting a little ways and jumping out. Going back again. No way to grow. No way to get some understanding. Unless we stay where we belong. We don't develop the relationships and establish the testimony that makes our life mean something to us and to others. Hey, consider this fact. That David had the... pretty much the same people around him all of his life. Think about that. He didn't change crowds. He didn't change churches. He didn't change fellowships. Same people stayed with David throughout his life. Yep. More got added as he went along. But very few went out. And he didn't go out from anybody. Now, to go on with life is to mount the difficulties and the disappointments as well as the victories, and face them with the grace of God, and learn their lessons, and receive their blessings, and look forward with anticipation. That's what it means to go on with life. Difficulties come along. Do you mount them, or do they mount you? You mount a horse and you ride that thing. You mount a four-wheeler or whatever and ride it. Now, it'd be pretty difficult if that horse jumped on you and rode you. Or if that ATV jumps on you and you got to carry it. That's pretty rough going, ain't it? Well, you need to learn to mount your difficulties. Yes, sir. You need to believe the fact that God uses the things that resist you to lift you up, just like an airplane. That's how an airplane flies. It uses what's against it to lift it up. And so you need to learn that. You need to learn that all things work together for good to them that love God. Yes, they do. God knows all about them. There's nothing that comes our way that He don't know about. You need to learn to do like David and just trust the Lord and go on. And say, the Lord knows. And this is bound to be for my good, because God don't do anything for my bad. He ain't trying to hurt me. He ain't trying to take me down. He's trying to make something out of me and my life. So He put it in there. God did this. God allowed this. You climb up on top of it and you can see a little farther away than you could before. So we need to learn to mount the difficulties and the disappointments and the losses and all of the trouble of life, as well as the victories. Now, a lot of people can make it through terrible trials and troubles and difficulties of life and adversity. But then when they get a victory, that's when they wipe out. You've seen it. I've seen it over and over. We can look in the Bible and we can see examples of it. But not this one. You can't. When David's the king, he went on. That's what the Bible says. And David went on. He went on. He didn't let it go to his head. He didn't look in the mirror and say, man, what a person you are. You're pretty wonderful. You know that? Boy, God has just blessed you above everybody else. You must really be something. It didn't go to David's head. Not at all. Not at all. That's exactly what David did throughout his life. When he was down and persecuted, and when he became king, he dismounted the difficulties and went on. As a Christian, it's one of the fundamental things of being a child of God. We go on. Did you hear me? I said, that's one of the fundamental things about a child of God. They go on. They don't quit. They don't just go stagnant. If you're alive, you're going to be moving. If you're alive in body, you're going to be moving. If you're alive in your soul, you're going to be moving. You're not going to quit. You're not going to go backwards. You're not going to go stagnant. We go on with the sure knowledge that God is in control and that the future is brighter and brighter for the child of God. That light shineth brighter and brighter unto that day. The way of the just shineth brighter and brighter. The way of the just. I mean, it just gets brighter as you go. It looks more hopeful as you go. You don't despair. You don't look around at the country and the politics and the world. And like the other day, the scientists, they moved that nuclear clock up to what? What is it? 11 seconds before midnight or something like that. We're about to blow up the world. We don't look around and say, oh, no. Oh, there's no hope. Oh, what are we going to do? I know that God's in control. I know that Jesus is coming. And if He don't come before I die, I know where I'm going as soon as I breathe my last breath. And I know what's ahead. And rejoice in it more. The older you get, the more you rejoice. And the more you're looking forward to what lies ahead. That's how a child of God just keeps going. She said the other day, I can't believe that this month's already over. And I said, well, it's 1 month closer. 1 month closer. Every night when you go to bed, we read here a while back, you drive your tent stakes 1 day's journey closer to home. Yes. It's brighter and brighter. It don't get gloomier and gloomier. You watch older people, and when they get that way, I worry about their soul's condition. I really do, because it ain't supposed to be that way. I know the body gets pain and stiff and trouble, and it ain't like it used to be. But my goodness, look ahead. What do you see ahead? What do you see ahead of you? Just pain and sorrow and suffering. Well, if you're lost, yeah, that's what you'd see. But if you're not, if you're really alive in Christ, you ought to be looking, as there's so many of these days left. And every day I get behind me is one less that I got to live, suffering, hurting. Yep. It's coming soon. That's the way you'll look at things. There are times when we just don't know how to go on. But I'm telling you, as a child of God, somehow we do. We go on. You just do. You go on. I remember years ago, there was some big deal going on, and we were all in the office over in Virginia in the church preacher's office, and somebody said to me, they said, well, if this and this happens, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to go on, just like that. And it kind of took him back, because he thought that if that happens, it's all over. No, it ain't over. It don't matter what happens, it ain't over. We're going to go on. There's times when we don't know how, but we do. A true child of God has the life of God in him. And he never, never, never gives up and stops making progress. Do you hear me? Now, I believe that. I really believe that that's the way it is. Well, I know somebody quit. You knew somebody that never started. Christian don't quit. He perseveres. There's a word in the Bible, a preacher used to mention it often, meno. It means you keep going. You persevere. David, he went on. Well, there's a couple more things we want to talk about here. David grew great. David went on, and he grew great. It wasn't by his will and his design that he grew great. But it was something that just happened through the process of just going on. You know, you guys are young, like Gary and Elizabeth here and Dakota and Esther. You're young and you're just getting started. And life's pretty hard. I mean, there ain't enough of anything, and there's too much of the things you don't need, and all of that, it seems like you ain't got nothing and all of this, but life is that way. You start out with nothing. But if you just keep living day by day by day by day, someday you'll just have all these things and you won't know hardly where they came from. And I'm not talking about just worldly possessions. I'm talking about children and family and grandchildren and memories and just by going on. Just by going on. Most people now, they throw in the towel before they ever hardly get going. Any kind of first time they get married, and in the first year or two, they're done split up, gone with somebody else because they run into trouble. They hit some rocks and had some problems, and instead of dealing with the problems and going on and have no determination to go on, they're just trying this thing as long as it's good for me and happy for me and easy for me. But when it gets a little rough, I'm out. I ain't living my life like this. I'm going to enjoy my life. Well, you throw away your life in the process. David became great. He didn't become great. He grew great. That's the word that he uses here. He grew great. He never set out to be great. And if you set out to be great, you'll never really be great. You might sell your soul to the devil like some of these celebrities have and get lots of money and have everybody know who you are and all of that, but you're not great. You're a fool when you do that. You're not great. You're a fool by any definition. You're not great by any definition of the word. That man. You might be a great politician, but you certainly ain't great. You're not great. I had a fellow message me this week and tell me I need to work on my grammar. I told him, well, you're right. You're right. And I do. Anyway, when all Israel... You know, David didn't set out to be great. He would have been happy. He would have been a happy man out on the backside of the wilderness with a few sheep all of his life. He would have. He didn't seek after the world's things. He didn't seek after fame or fortune or position. He was a shepherd. That's what David was. A shepherd. Caring for a few sheep. Away from everybody else. And he'd have been happy doing that. But God went and got him out of the sheepfold and put him in the palace. And that's what happened. And it wasn't because David wanted to be great. When all Israel came to Hebron, it's like I told you a while ago, there were 348,000 military along with all the rest of the people. And they had all of these ceremonies and all of this deal for days. And I need to study it a little bit more so I can get it all in my mind just how it was. But what I read there this morning was that David said to everybody while they were there, well, if this is what y'all want, and if it seems good to you, then let's do this. Let's go get the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back here. And so they did that. And that turned into problems, you know, and all. But it's a process of going forward. Why do you want to do that? Because he's going forward. This is Israel. If I'm going to be the king, and God put me here as the king, that's part of our nation. That's part of our identity. Let's get it back where it belongs. Get rid of these Jebusites. Let's get that ark back here. Let's get things in order now. If we're going to be the people of God, and the nation that God set apart from all the other nations, let's do it right. Let's do what we're supposed to do. So, he grew great. He didn't one day, this ain't the day that David became great. He didn't become great because of this day. It wasn't something that just was given to him. Or that he accomplished, he grew great. Well, growing happens with time. A lot of time. You don't see things grow. You don't see people, animals, plants. Nothing grows fast, does it? Well, then church shouldn't grow real fast either. Seems to me like if it's in step and if it's really true to God's creation and everything else, I don't see how church ought to explode from 20 people to 500 people in 2 or 3 weeks or a year. Nothing else that's alive does that. And so part of life, this is how it happens. It happens with time. Growing does. And that's how David became great. He grew great. Y'all getting me? It ain't something that just happened overnight. It ain't something that happened because he killed the giant. That made him great. Nah. That's long ago now in the past. People talk about it like, you remember that time? Yeah, but all of the thrill and all of the awe of that is past. David's an older fellow now. He's not an old man, but he's way past that. That was a half of a lifetime ago for him. It can come about slowly. This greatness of David did. It came about slowly through mistakes of his own. He made a few mistakes. But he learned from his mistakes, didn't he? He knew when he made a mistake. God protected him from making some real big mistakes. And it's a good thing David wasn't a hard-headed, stubborn, bull-headed Yehu. He would listen. When God or a woman came and corrected him, he'd listen and be corrected if he was wrong. And so he made mistakes of his own. He suffered hardships. He suffered injustices. He suffered a lot of things at the hands of others. That's how he grew great. That ain't how everybody wants to grow great, is it? Everybody wants to grow great by impressing other people, by getting it over on other people, by becoming powerful through riches or position or some way to step myself up like a goat in a goat herd, oh, higher than everybody else. That makes you great. No, that ain't what makes you great. I really do believe this. The greatest men who are alive right now, people don't even know who they are. And it has always been that way. It came about slowly. He grew great because of his unfailing trust in God and his lifelong habit of immediately running to God for guidance and help and answers. David just had this thing about him. He just always did that. Didn't matter what was going on, didn't matter what people did, didn't matter what had happened, he just went to God and asked God for guidance and help and answers. That's why he can say there in Psalm 62, Gary, that you talk about in Sunday school, he only is my rock and my salvation. David said that. And he said it more and more. He meant it. He lived it. He proved it. That was him. And that's how he grew great. David grew great. What does it mean? Well, he grew great in the sight of others. As they watched his life. As they got to know him and what he was like and how he treated people. All right, now, David has been outcast for years here. You know, it don't take long for a generation to come up. I mean, do y'all realize that the people born in 2000 are 20 years old this year? Well, mercy. It doesn't take long. David was on the run for that long, almost. But then he became king in Hebron for 7.5 years. And now, all of these people in Israel, here's my point, they weren't well acquainted with David. He was over yonder. He was down with the Philistines. He was out of sight. They didn't really know him. They'd heard about him, good and bad. And so now, he's going to be the king. And David grew great from that point on because they watched him. And you better believe they were keen. What's he going to do? How's he going to be? How's he going to treat the people? What kind of man's this? What kind of king is this one going to be? We done had one, but we don't want. Is he going to be like Saul? He wasn't. They were not disappointed. They were very pleased with their king. And he grew great in the eyes of other people. Yeah. Of the people that he ruled over, he was great. He was a great man. He grew great in the sight of his enemies. And he grew great in the sight of the enemies of God. They were the same people, by the way. They learned to respect him. And they learned to fear him. David was a great man. They knew they got a better idea of what they were up against when David became the king. And they learned to respect him. He fought him and fought him and fought him. And when by the time David's kingdom was over and Solomon took over, there wasn't no more enemies to fight. Solomon didn't have to fight. There was peace. Because David was a great man. David put everything at peace by defeating the enemies, by fighting against them. Y'all hearing me? He didn't compromise with them. He didn't make peace accords with them, ceasefires. He didn't say, no, we're just going to have to try to live together here because we can't. No, he said, I'm going to kill you. You need to stop it and you come to God and believe the truth and you live here in peace with us, or I'm going to do away with you. He said, I just don't believe it that way. Well, you're just wrong. That's all there is to it. David brought peace by fighting. You want some peace in your home? You want some peace with your children? You want some peace in your life? You better fight the enemies. Better mark them down and see where they're at and fight the enemy. Don't fight your own people. Don't fight the ones that are there to help you. Don't fight the ones that you're there that need your help. Fight the enemy. The ones that's causing all the trouble. Whatever it is. People, things, whatever. Go after the enemy. That's what David did. He was a great man. And his enemies learned that he was great. That's the point. He was great in the eyes of his people. He was great in the eyes of his enemies. And David grew great in the sight of other nations around that weren't enemies, but they were watching. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon. This is years down the road here. For he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father. For Hiram was ever a lover of David. He loved David. He was a friend of David. That's what that means. He had the utmost respect for him. Hiram knew David was a great man. And he sent people down. We ain't touched it yet, but when David became king, he sent some men and crews, sent everybody down there to build David a house. That's another country here. A neighboring country. Instead of fighting with him and threatening him, he just sent a whole bunch of men and crew and materials and everything, built David a house. It's better to live that way. Better to live in such a way that people like you. It's better to live in a way that people think you're great and not arrogant and smart aleck and hateful and a bully. It's better to live where people like you. David's greatness was not just an opinion that people had toward him. He really was great. There's no way. That's insufficient. I can't think of a word to say that really would accurately describe David. He was more than great. But it wasn't just an opinion that people held by him. In every way, he was great. In war, he was great. He didn't lose. Now think about that. David didn't lose. When David went to battle, he won. So he knew how to fight. And not only that, but he knew when to fight and when not to fight. And how did he know? Well, he went to God. And he said, Lord, shall I go up? And there were times when the Lord says, no. David said, okay. Yes, Lord. But if the Lord said, go up, I'll surely deliver him into thine hands. David was on the road. He said there in one of the Psalms, he said, the Lord teacheth my hands to war. You believe that about God? God teach you how to fight? Yes, sir. Well, he was a great man. He was a very great man because his influence over others was positive. And he was great because his influence over others was godly. And his influence over others was righteous. That's why the sin of his life was such an unfathomable tragedy. It just wrecked so much damage that we don't even know yet. But the main of David's life, with that one exception, this is what he was like. He was a great man. Because of the influence he
wielded over other people for righteousness, for godliness and goodness. David sent everybody away that day with a good piece of meat and a flagon of wine. And they all went to their homes full of joy and gladness for what God had done for Israel that day. That's the kind of king David was. That's why he was great. Can't say Saul was a great man, can you? He had some exploits and he did some things. But to sum his life up and say he was a great man. But you can't, that word don't do it for David. David grew great. He was a great man because as the king, he truly cared for the people. And he viewed himself as appointed by God as a servant to the people of God. He was a great man because he didn't feel like he was above everybody else. That's the mark of greatness, is humility. Y'all get that? That's a mark of greatness. True humility. Not hit-and-miss humility. Not part-time. Not fake humility. True humility is the mark of greatness. I mean, you want to talk about the greatest man who ever walked on this earth. Who was he? Jesus, the Son of God, who was also the Son of Man. Was he humble? Very much. Moses was the meekest man in all the earth in his day, the Bible said. You'd never know by talking to him what a great man he was. He didn't boast of himself. He didn't talk with authority like, you know. This was David. He was a great man. He grew great. He was a great man because he kept God at the forefront of every decision and every battle and also every blessing in his life. God was first in his thoughts. If I got trouble, God was the first thing he thought of. Run to God. Find an answer. Get some guidance. Help. If a blessing came, it's, oh, praise God. Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. And the Lord God of hosts was with him. Well, David went on, and he grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. That's all that verse says. You just read that and skip on over it and not even think about it. Look how much is there. And we ain't even touching it hardly. This was the secret to all of David's greatness. It's the secret to all true greatness. The Lord God was with him. The Lord God of hosts was with him. To have the Lord on your side. Now, you know what the secret to having the Lord on your side is? For you to be on His side. If you're on His side, you truly are. He'll be on your side. If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, the only thing about that is you got to be for God. And that's a big problem we got now because most what everybody does in the work of the Lord and the service of the Lord and the church work and the kingdom of God and all that, they're working against God. They won't let God have His way. They got to interfere. And they know what needs to be done. They just need to know how to pray to get God to do it. Having the Lord God of hosts with you. Reckon anybody would know it that was watching your life? If the Lord God of hosts was really with you, there's going to be some evidence of it. That's my buttons doing that on my coat. I'm going to take these buttons off. What David did to secure the blessings of God on his life is available to all the rest of us as well. You got available to you right today, in fact, more than what David had available to him to ensure that the Lord God of hosts was with him. You hear me? Why wouldn't the Lord God of hosts be with you? Well, you're not doing what David did. That's the only reason. You might, it's a lot of different things, but here's the basic things. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, that's what David did. If Solomon wrote that proverb, there in Proverbs chapter 3, if Solomon wrote that, who do you think told him that? David. That was the theme of David's life. That was the secret of David's greatness. That was the secret of David being who he was. The Lord God was with him. I mean, it started way back there. Way back there. And it didn't start just the day that Samuel anointed him. And the Bible says that from that day forward, the Spirit of God left Saul. And from that day forward, the Spirit of God came upon David. The Lord was with him all the way through. Because David trusted God always. David acknowledged and consulted God always. Do you always? Do you? Always? Everything? Do you in all your ways acknowledge God? Or are you just running trails and going places and thinking things all the time, just in your own realm, in this world? And Seth said something about walking into counsel of the ungodly. Boy, that ain't trusting in the Lord. That ain't acknowledging the Lord in all your ways. David did. He obeyed what God told him, too. David didn't ask the Lord, Lord, what I do? And then said, well, I don't want to do that. Or let me think about that. I'll do part of it, and then I think I ought to do this. The rest of it this way. That ain't the way David did. Whatever the Lord said, that's what David did. Exactly. Do you obey God like that? See, we got a generation here that don't have that attitude at all. Their attitude is to get as far to the close to the world as they can. I mean, they just barely want to have one foot in. And all of their standards about the way they dress, the way they live, the things they do, the places they go, they want to live in the world. They don't want nothing. Now, the real attitude of a real child of God is that I don't want to do anything to offend the Lord. If there was any chance that this would be offensive to the Lord, I have nothing to do with it. It's gone. Out of my life, out of my house, out of my thoughts. That's the right attitude. That's what made David great, because that's the way he was. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes, said David. Will you do that? What about you? David obeyed God and everything God said. He acknowledged Him in all His ways. He ran to Him in trouble. He ran to Him when the blessings came to thank Him and praise Him. And he did what God said for him to do. To know God is with you, gives you confidence in every situation. Have you ever thought about this? You know, we were talking about it this morning. I told her too. I said, you know, I was reading this commentary thing. These people said, David's always talking about how God favors him and God loves him and how God's going to deal with his enemies. And anybody that hurts David, God's going to deal with them. And people think, well, that's pretty presumptuous of him. He must think he's better than everybody else. And I told her, I said, well, now, you know, would it be presumptuous of you to tell other people that if they hurt you, if they do something ugly to you, that I will deal with them? Rough? What about your children? Do you think that they should, you think it's presumptuous of them to feel like and to be able to tell other people, you know, my dad will get you for doing that to me? Y'all get it? If you know that you're right with God, you belong to God, God loves you, how in the world could you not think that He's going to deal with people that will hurt you? Touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That ain't just talking about a certain class of people. That's God's people. He that touches you touches the apple of His eye. You better look out. David had that. He said, boy, as for me, God's going to bless me. God's going to speak peace to me. But boy, for you, there's trouble ahead for you. To know that God is with you. That's the point I'm making here. The Lord God of hosts was with him. And he knew it. Didn't cause him to be proud. Didn't cause him to be careless. Didn't cause him to have a hair trigger. He just knew. And he knew how come the Lord God was with him. God didn't just go, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, I picked David. That's the one I'm going to bless. That's the one I'm going to care for. And I'll protect him. And I hate everybody else. Just love David. That ain't how it happened at all. David was a man after God's own heart. To know God loves you and favors you and will protect you. And it just gives you courage and strength for any battle. That's why David went on. That's how he could go on. That's how he grew great. Because the Lord was with him. It's kind of like backwards here. See? Read it from the bottom. The Lord God of hosts was with him. He grew great. And he went on. It's interesting in your Bible. This, I always do that. I always just go backwards at it and see what it says. It makes sense. That's part of the reason I know this is the Word of God. You can read it forwards. You can read it backwards. You can think about it forwards. You can think about it backwards. It's God's Word. And it's truths of God, just like in this little verse here. That just, man, it's just our whole life. It talks about our whole life. Whole purpose of life. What we want in life. What our life's about. Here it is, right here in this little verse. And if the Lord is with you, then those who know anything about you after you're gone will be able to say that you went on. In every defeat and every victory you encountered in life, they'll be able to say it about you. If the Lord God of hosts is with you, then when you're gone, everybody will look at your life and they'll say, boy, he just went on. He made it through. Just like David. I don't know. This little, it just caught my, when I read that verse, I just thought, you study, and you read, and you study, and you think you got everything all in order, and then there's just two or three little words just jump right out at you. And it just arrests your whole heart and mind, and you just start thinking, and think, oh my. You're going to live so many days on this earth, and you got to go on. How are you going to do it? Well, the Lord God of hosts is going to have to help you. And if He helps you, you're going to make it. If He's with you, you're going to make it. You're just going to make it, no matter what happens. We think the end of the world has come for us when lots of different things happen. We lose loved ones. There's just some of the awfulest things in the world that can happen. It's just unbelievable what happens to people. I can't believe the tragedies I read about and the things I hear about. And you just wonder how in the world you could ever get over it and go on. But you can. You do. It's a whole lot more wonderful if the Lord God of hosts is with you. And you grow great through the troubles that almost stop you. Amen. Well, stand with me. Now, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the truths we've spoken of this morning. Please bless to our heart the truths here. Help us to get it and to make the application in our own life. Everybody has troubles and everybody has problems looming in front of them that just seem insurmountable, but Lord, please help us to know that the Lord God of hosts is with us and that you'll get us through and you'll give us the strength and somehow we'll make it. And Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the time together. Please go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen.